Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to True Church Radio, a show that seeks to unveil the spirit of Satan and its working within our culture and church. Today I have Brother Dave with me. We're going to be dealing with the recent events by what used to be known as Hillsong, but now we're calling Hillsong. Brother Dave, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well, Brother James. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're doing good. So, Brother David, there's so much that we need to deal with as far as Hillsong. They're clearly showing their fruit, and just a little bit of investigation on this false church, and it's very clear that they are clearly walking in apostasy, and they're truly trying to define Christianity. And you know, Brother, before we get started, I'm just going to read a couple verses and, you know, give forth the biblical explanation why we're doing what we're doing today, why we're calling them Hillsong and not Hillsong, why we're calling them a false church and not the church of Jesus Christ. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, we read, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So this was written, this is Paul's last letter to Timothy. This was written right around 68 AD. And here we are in 2016, and somehow people think that this verse is not yet being fulfilled or it's yet to come. But ladies and gentlemen, you must understand that we are living in a time where evil men and seducers are rampant.
Amen.
And we say this almost every show where we say, you know, that 90% of what we see in Western Christianity is false, some to higher degrees in the sense that they are truly heretics and truly being led by an antichrist spirit and are part of the false church, and some that are just teaching bad doctrine, and some, I mean, but this is happening in our day. They're seducing people, and that's what we're going to talk about today, the seduction of Hillsong, how Hillsong or Hillsong is seducing men and women into another Christianity, into another Jesus, into another spirit, as Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he talked about, you know, false apostles and false gospels, you know, and another spirit being offered to the church in Corinth. We have to discern the times we're in. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, we are commanded, and I read, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Brother, if that's not what we're seeing today, when we're dealing with Hillsong, people are deceived. And they'll continue to be deceived, and they'll fall into gross darkness if they're not willing to take the evidence, not what we're unveiling, but what we're clearly just pointing out and using the scriptures to help people see that Hillsong is part of the fulfillment of 2 Timothy 3:13. Brian Houston is an evil man. He is a seducer, and he is deceiving, and he is himself deceived. Amen, Brother David?
Amen, brother. I've got a scripture, if you don't mind me bringing forth a scripture right quick. Well, this is at 2 Peter 2:12, and I know it's talking about, you know, God knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust and the dead just to be punished. But it talks about, talks about the angels, which are in greater power, bring not railing accusation against dignities and who speak evil of dignities. These self-willed people. But he says these as natural brute beasts are made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now that's what's going on now, because they speak evil of us who stand up against what they're doing, because we know what the true word of God says, not because we're the only ones that know it, or we're some type of great people, or more blessed people, or God loves us more. We're just after the truth. And he goes on to say, "And shall receive the reward of the unrighteous, as they count it pleasure to ride in the day. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." That's what they're doing right here with these shows they put on. And we're going to talk about that more. Having eyes full of adultery, it says, and that cannot cease from sin. They don't try to deal with sin. They don't come against sin. They just say they're just on a journey, and we're just here to help them on their journey. And it goes on to say, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. They have cursed children. They're just like them. They dress like them. They're going to do what they do because that's what they do, and they see nothing wrong with it. Which have forsaken the right way, it says, and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. You know what Balaam did? We can explain that if they don't understand who Balaam was and what he did. Who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And that's what's happening today, especially with Hellsong, brother.
Amen. That's, you know, what we're discussing here today is the evils of Hillsong, and there's so much. I mean, the evils of Hillsong spring back into the late 90s, or actually into the early 80s through the 90s, with Brian Houston's father, Frank Houston, who is passed
yes.
away. You know, Brian Houston's father, Frank, was involved in some serious sex scandals. And I'm just going to quote from an article, and it says, and I quote, in 2000, Houston confessed to the sexual abuse of a boy in New Zealand 30 years earlier. Shortly afterward, in response, Brian Houston, who was then also the national president of the Assemblies of God in Australia, dismissed his father. In August 2007, further allegations emerged that Houston had sexually abused a trainee pastor during counseling sessions in the early 1980s. On October 8th, 2014, Brian Houston admitted to a Sydney hearing of the Royal Commission into Institutional Response to Sexual Abuse, Child Sexual Abuse, that his father was guilty of other cases of sexual abuse against children, end quote. And when you actually do this research, and there's a lot out there, Brian Houston and the Assemblies of God knew what Frank Houston had done and was doing. And one lady gave the account saying that one pastor lady said, you know, that they knew about it, and he was back in the pulpit preaching, and then they did let him go for a couple years, but they never, Brian Houston, the Assemblies of God, never went to the police. So
never covered it up.
They covered it up. Brian Houston
yeah.
covered up this pedophilia of his father, which... And his father died in 2004, I believe, in 2007, Brian Houston, or 2014, rather, 10 years later, Brian Houston admits that. So, I mean, you know, other cases, he comes out 10 years after his father passes away and admits that there was other cases. And how about all the other cases that no one else knows about because those individuals don't want to come forward with it? They don't want to dig it up. You know, this man, Brian
mm-hmm.
Houston, has, we're going to see in a quote that I'm going to read, this man is known for cover up. He's known for being dishonest, and it starts back with his father. Look, I can't imagine, Brother David. I can't imagine having to deal with something like this as the son, and having to realize that your father is obviously homosexual and a pedophile. But as a human being, you have to stand for justice. You have to stand for what is right. You have to stand for those little kids or for those people that were abused, even if it is your father. And he didn't do that. He chose not to do that. And obviously the Assemblies of God of Australia didn't choose to do that as well. And they chose to cover it up. You know, they chose to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not Christ-like. That is not Christ-like at all. You know, and go ahead. Do you have something to say?
Well, no, I'm just agreeing with you, and I hope this doesn't, you know, me agreeing doesn't cut anything off. But I even heard that he blamed the boy.
Yeah.
It was his fault.
Well, you know, and he had made that statement that, you know, that the boy had tempted the father. And then Brian Houston, he denied those statements. He said that he never said that. But, you know, there's obviously... It's obviously pretty disgusting that this took place and that Brian Houston didn't do what was right. You know, he didn't do what was right. And I believe it was maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. I can't remember exactly when, but this is pretty much old news. But Brian Houston said that the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians, we all serve the same God. Mm-hmm. That we all serve the same God, you know. And if you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 23 says, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." And then actually verse 22, if you back up to verse 22, it says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." So verse 22 and verse 23 shows this dual relationship of a father and a son.
Okay? Right, absolutely.
And the New Testament scriptures clearly teach that Jesus was God in the flesh, but he was the Son of God. And Jesus many times made reference to God as being his Father. Okay? We see that in the Gospel of John when the Jews, I believe it's chapter 8, the Jews wanted to stone him because the Jews accused him saying, "You being a man, make yourself the Son of God," you know, making yourself equal to God. So the Muslims deny that Allah, their false God, has any children. But we just read here in 1 John 2:22 and 2:23 that if anyone denies the Son, they deny the Father. The Muslims and the Jews, the Jews that are not converted to biblical Christianity, they deny that Jesus is the Christ, and they deny that he is the Son of God. Okay? Mm-hmm. But Muslims deny that God has no son. So they deny that Jesus is the Son of God. One of the core teachings of New Testament Christianity, that Jesus is the Son of Man, the Son of God, God incarnate. Muslims deny that. And Brian Houston, who's supposed to be an Evangelical Assemblies of God pastor, is sitting here and telling people that Jews, Muslims, and Christians, you know, we all serve the same God. Muslims call their God Allah, and Jews and Christians call our God Abba. It's all the same God. No, it's not. That within itself, Brother David, disqualifies him from being a pastor, a Christian, a pastor. It disqualifies him to be in Christian ministry 100%.
I agree.
And then has a... Go ahead.
No, I agree. Just go ahead and finish it. I'll say something.
Has of lately, at their conference in New York, the Color Conference, they have some pretty disturbing things take place at this conference. One, you have a bearded Lady Liberty. So everyone knows that the Statue of Liberty is portraying a woman, not a man. But yet during this conference, a bearded Lady Liberty comes out on the stage. I don't know if it's for the transgender movement. I don't know what they're trying to portray with this, but it is perversion. That is one thing we know for sure. And let me just interject and say that we have all the videos and pictures posted at truechurchfalsechurch.com. Again, that's truechurchfalsechurch.com. And you can go and see the videos for yourself, and you can make your own decisions. You don't have to take our word for it, but we must let God be true and every man a liar. And we have to recognize that this is not Christian conference. And by the way, this Color Conference was a woman's conference.
Mm.
And when you look at the things that take place on the stage, just the little clips that we have, this is not a Christian conference to edify and to build up women, especially knowing that you're going to have young women, middle-aged women, elderly women, single women, abused women, married women. You have so many different people in the crowd, but yet they have so much evil taking place on the stage between a bearded Lady Liberty and the one that really stirred things up was a dancing naked cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
And in that dancing, seriously, Brother David, should we have to sit here and say that this is not of God, that this is not Christianity, that this is not glorifying Jesus Christ? This man is half naked in front of at a woman's conference? At a woman's conference. What are you doing putting a half naked man out there like that? You know, and I want to read to you Brian Houston's late response to this, all right? He was called out on it. He was asked about it. He didn't come forward because he desired to set the thing, to set the issue straight. But let me read his response, okay? So he's asked, so how did someone come on stage resembling a cowboy during a fun moment involving lots of other people at the Color Conference in New York City? His response, and I quote, this is from Brian Houston. He says, I don't know that, Bobby. My wife, who was convener of the conference, was clearly unaware that this was going to happen and was taken back by it. She was at the dress rehearsal, and there was no sign of a cowboy there. Carl and Laura Lentz were also not part of the decision. I can only guess at this point that someone thought it would be funny and sent him out there without thinking about the ramifications. Further on, quoting Brian Houston, he says, what I do know is that those who perpetrate the story do so mainly with the help of a video, no context, and a good dose of what the Bible describes as heresy and rumor. He was wearing proper shorts, not underwear, and he had a flag draped over him, perhaps inappropriate, certainly unexpected and unauthorized, but not naked. What I also know is that talk of apostates, etc., is nonsense. Some well-meaning person just made a silly decision. It won't happen again. End quote. Brother, excuse me, I got to throw up. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's true.
Mr.
That's
Cover-Up
true.
Himself, you know, senior cover-up is covering up again. And to say that they had no clue when you watch the video, again, I ask all of our listeners to go to truechurchfalsechurch.com and you'll see the video of Lady Liberty. And underneath it, you'll have the dancing naked cowboy who's wearing proper shorts. Well, you know what, brother? I don't know who made Brian Houston the authoritative person to tell us if spandex that don't even reach the knees is proper shorts. But this is what also is interesting, is that this naked cowboy, see, a lot of people need to understand that there's actually a naked cowboy, a patented naked cowboy in New York City who walks around naked, well, he walks around with underwear and a guitar in front of his private part, and he walks around New York, and it's patented. He owns the name, and he owns the image. And he was upset because this is not him that showed up to this show. He was upset. So when that came out, that he actually came out and said, that's not me, they stole my image, they stole my name, brother, it came out that the naked cowboy is the youth pastor of Hillsong. He's the youth pastor. And not only is he the youth pastor, but he was an ex-model. He was an ex-model.
Amen.
To say that this youth pastor took it upon himself, and when you look at the video, he's not in the middle of the stage. He's not at the back of the stage being stopped by all kinds of people trying to stop him from going up. He's at the front of the stage, and everybody is accepting it. Everybody is welcoming it. Not only that, how come there's no videos of Bobby Houston, of the Lentz, Carl Lentz and his wife, getting up and condemning that immediately after it happened? Brother, they're liars.
Well, they were in the midst of it.
They're liars, brother. This is clear. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Anybody, if these people were true leaders of God, these people are trying to pass the envelope. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to pass the envelope. If they were truly led of the Spirit of God, they would have immediately put the plug on this, got that guy, threw him off the stage, and they would have called for, they would have apologized to the women. Like, again, like I said, how many of these women there were single? How many of these women struggle with desiring to be with the man? And they allow, I don't care what Brian Houston says. There's no condemnation of this. And even in his response, he says that, what did he say? Some well-meaning person just made a silly decision.
Yeah,
calling this person who decided to do this a well-meaning person? The only condemnation he gives here are to you and I and to anyone else that would expose this. That's who he's condemning. He's condemning those that are going to call him and his organization apostate. He's condemning us and those that are going to sit here and point out, not expose it, point it out, and he's going to say that we're using heresy and rumor?
He's tried to turn that around on the people who are exposing him. See, he never takes any personal responsibility for what he did. Nothing like that. Rather, he suggests that nobody was responsible, not Houston, his wife, not the Lentzes. Nobody was. And it was, you know, somebody who made a poor decision. You need to correct those people for sure. But see, the point is brother, and just to let me interject for a second, people don't, this church at this day and time is open for anything. They don't care much about, you know, they just want to have fun. This is all about having fun, and the more you can have fun, the better off it is. And, you know, and it's all about this, the reason why they're so successful by doing this. This is a New Age type of church, a New Age Pentecostalism. It's just an extension of the furtherness of the charismatic movement that came out, and it's just going on down. You know, they gross over $100 million a year, with all their different operations they have, and $80 million of it was tax free. I mean, who wouldn't want to? I mean, if you weren't, you know, you're in the right mind with God, in the right place, and you're thinking this is just okay, and God's all right with it, because he believes God's all right with it. I've talked to people before that, and they say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing. He even quoted on here. He says, you know, you guys are, Steve, you need to stop looking at what we did. You're looking at it wrong. I don't see how you're looking. We're looking at it wrong. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Carl Lentz was out there with a flag. He was on the stage. I saw him on stage waving the flag around, part of it, yelling USA, and being a part of all that instead of, you know, not having anything to do with that. They don't care. It's to feed the flesh to get more people in, brother. We know this, and that's what it's for. And his church is, Lentz's church is like that. So is Australia's church. They're just like that. The more open we can get, the more love we can give. You know, just love everybody without, you know, just be with them on their journey and just love them. And, yeah, we're supposed to love them, but we're also supposed to correct, rebuke, and exhort. And that's what the Bible's, that's what the Word of God's for, brother. Amen?
Amen, brother. It's, you know, and so many of these seeker-friendly, emerging church, entertaining-type churches, they use the grace of God as a blanket of approval for what they're doing. And, you know, Jude said in verse 4 of chapter 1 of Jude, he says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who are before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Brother, by their actions, Titus 1:16 says the same thing. They profess to know God, but by works they deny him. Being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work, reprobate. These people are reprobate. They're an abomination to claim. Look, and I, Brother David, when you and I were talking about this, discussing this, I said this to you. I said, look, Brother David, they can call themselves Hillsong, you know, Hillsong Bar or Hillsong Club, and we wouldn't be touching it because that's expected of the world.
Right.
But don't call yourself a church and not expect to come under fire, not expect to be called out for what you're doing, because there is accountability. Look, brother, the Bible describes the church, the body of Christ, the body of believers, as being branches that are in a vine. There's only one vine. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
There's only one head of the church. His name is Jesus. There's only one senior shepherd. His name is Jesus. Everyone else, if they're in the vine, are branches. I seriously, seriously question if Brian Houston and Carl Lentz are actually branches. I believe these men have fallen to the wayside. These men are proving it by their fruits. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "You shall know them by their fruits." Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, Brother David, because a lot of people try to use this to condemn what we're doing by saying, well, the Bible says, "Judge not, and you be not judged."
I know. It's terrible.
But we have,
brother,
to read everything within context, and the entire chapter 7 is within context, And in fact, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 is the context if you want to get technical. All three chapters are context. And yes, verse 1 of chapter 7, Jesus said, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Brother, I believe verse 5 is very fitting for Brian Houston, because Brian Houston is the one that's trying to point out the mote in our eyes and saying that we are using heresy and rumor, and that we are falsely accusing them as being apostates and saying that it's nonsense. No, it isn't nonsense.
Amen.
Because Jesus goes on to say in verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets." So look, if Jesus is telling us not to judge, but then in verse 15 he says, "Beware of false prophets." And then he goes on to say that we shall know them by their fruits.
Righteous judgment.
Verse 20, he says, "Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them." So he tells us to beware of false prophets. Verse 20, he tells us, "By their fruits we shall know them." Come on, this is the work of a false prophet. This is
right.
The work of a master cover up type of an individual. This man is a master at covering up situations. He's one who is constantly pushing the envelope, just like when he pushed the envelope and said, you know, Muslims, Allah, Jews, Christians, Abba, Father, it's the same, the same God. And everyone said he didn't suffer any ramifications. Nobody called him a heretic. Nobody told him to repent of saying those things. He probably grew in membership. And then he says, because gain is godliness, praise the Lord, God is in this. There's no repentance.
Yes, amen.
There's no repentance. Look, brother, let me also make a clear statement. We've heard this. A false prophet is God's judgment upon people that don't really want God and really want his true prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really not even trying to reach out to the thousands that condone Hillsong and don't condemn them. We're not trying to reach out to those. We're contending for the faith. We're not
Amen.
Just going to stand by and let ungodly men redefine Christianity without a voice crying out from the wilderness, without a voice standing on the rooftops and shouting and saying, "We condemn this. This is heresy. This is not of the Lord Jesus Christ." Brian Houston, Carl Lynn, repent. Repent. For the day is coming when you will meet the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be judged for these acts. You'll be judged for polluting the temple of Jesus Christ, and you'll give an account. Repent. We call you here at True Church Radio, we call you to repentance. We call you to brokenness. And we call you to apologize to the Church of Jesus Christ for doing such an act in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
You know, brother, this Matthew 7 goes on. The words of Jesus goes on. In verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." You know, women's conferences. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Notice how he doesn't say, "You who don't believe." Jesus doesn't say, "These are non-believers." He says that these are workers of iniquity. The color conference was an iniquitous work.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. You're going to say something.
No, you're right, brother. He's calling these people who are, for one thing, the Jews, they're in covenant relationship with the Lord, with the Father. through Moses. They had it through Abraham. And they're under the law according to Moses until Christ is coming to bring this new his way in. And he's not bringing a new thing. He's bringing an old thing, but he's given us the ability through Christ Jesus to do all this. But he's talking to those that are in covenant relationship. He loves those that are without and those that are in sin, but he's more concerned, and it hurts him more for those to be in covenant relationship, in the blood covenant with him through Jesus, and not living the life and following Christ in his words. And that's what you're getting at right here. You have to bring those things out and turn those things around because it's going to be destructive for those people. I see it too much in my walk, and I knew it was in my life at one time. You can't do that. We got to turn things around. We got to repent. We got to, you know, get our mind changed, get a renewing of the mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You know what that says? He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you might show what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I mean, that's what it's all about, right, brother?
Brother, you know, you just hit something that is the litmus test right here. Romans 12, verse 2. Mm-hmm. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's what we're seeing. And again, for those of you that may have just tuned in or those of you that are listening but haven't had a chance to write it down, we have the videos of what took place at Hillsong's conference, Color, at www.truechurchfalsechurch.com. And when you look at those videos, ask yourself this question. And what I'm watching is what I'm watching is this to be found inside a Christian woman's conference or even in a Christian conference period? Or is this something that should be found in a worldly conference or a worldly concert rather? Brother, you know, business conferences. I've been to business conferences before. Mm-hmm. Business conferences don't even do this kind of stuff. Brother, they have more class. the business world has a better dress code than Brian Houston's authorization on these spandex shorts without a shirt draped in a flag. Come on, man. Why are we so desperate for entertainment? What is wrong with people that they're so desperate to be entertained? This is of the world. James 4:4 says, you adulterers and adulteress, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? If anyone will befriend the world, he is an enemy of God. This is iniquity. This is flat out clear that they're enemies of God.
Right.
We can't embrace this. We can't embrace Hillsong music.
No.
We can't embrace Hillsong music because these people, this is not, look, Hillsong, one of their groups, Hillsong United, I believe, sings Scandal of Grace. Well, I say this is a scandal of Hillsong. And they're taking God's grace and they're trying to cover up all their iniquitous works by saying that God is okay with it. God is not okay with it. Just one clear reading of the Bible, one clear reading of the epistles. We'll settle this issue.
Amen.
We can't listen to this music because these music artists, if they love God above Hillsong and above Brian Houston, if they love God's truth above Hillsong, above Brian Houston, above their own musical career, they would walk away from, they would condemn this type of stuff. They would want to disassociate themselves with it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not to be partaker of other people's sins, the Bible tells us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brother, who knows what else is going on? If this is what they do, if this is what they flaunt in the open, who knows what their sins are behind closed doors, brother?
Right.
We know that to be true, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the music you're talking about, I have a short little thing here. It talks about his Frank Houston and his problems, and then Brian Houston and what is their vision? They want to follow a vision. This says, First Hillsong is a cult. This is a quote. This is not for me. Particularly a cult of personality. In a blog post on Hillsong's website, I tell five things that should matter to a worship leader. One of Hillsong's foremost worship leaders, Jonathan Douglas, writes, and the second one says, we are all about fulfilling our senior pastor's vision, not our own. It says it's so important. It is so important that as amazing as our creative ideas might be, if they don't ultimately line up with what our senior pastor and leaders want, then we happily put them aside. The church doesn't exist to build our worship teams. Our worship teams exist to build a church. And then he says, goes on to say, here's the problem. Biblical churches don't exist to fulfill a leader's vision. Churches exist to glorify God, preach and teach the scriptures, and make disciples. And he goes on to say that Brian Houston's under the investigation by the Royal Commission about his father's crimes. And it says in here, Douglas has made it clear who Hillsong Worship Program exists to serve. And he says, hint, it isn't Jesus. So what exactly is the vision of Brian Houston that Hillsong seeks to fulfill? I'll be through here and just say, you can read this entire vision statement. It's online. You can go look for it. However, to summarize, he sees a large global church centered around worldly culture and music with the purpose of influencing the world with this watered-down, substanceless version of Christianity. And he claims that the vision is from God. And you quoted this just a minute ago. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And you attributed to that in John 18:36. My kingdom is not of this world. So we don't use worldly things. So you can't follow they said they're following the Holy Spirit, brother, and they're bringing in the world in their customs and the dress and the way they act and what they look like and everything else. And they're saying that's what God wants. That it's absolutely derogatory from what he wants, and it's opposite of what he wants, brother. It doesn't line up with Scripture. Nothing they do lines up with Scripture. Most of the church today now is going towards that because it's all about making money. It's all about the prosperity gospel. Go ahead.
Well, it's about money, and it's about the glorification of men, you know.
I mean,
that right there clearly says it. You know, it's about fulfilling Brian Houston's vision. And this is the thing, brothers, we're branches. The only vision we get is that Jesus gives us, and it's going to line up with his vision and the Father's vision, the Holy Spirit's vision, and that's to glorify one, and that's God and God alone. And when you see that this is not glorifying God, when you see a watered down of the gospel to try to fulfill your vision, that's another gospel. A watered down gospel is another gospel, and they're anathema. You can't water down the gospel. You can't beefy up the gospel. You create another gospel and you try to add to it. When you try to add water, you try to add meat that doesn't exist, you do the same damage to the right or to the left. We cannot touch the Word of God for any reason. We cannot do that and expect to still find ourselves within the parameters of biblical Christianity. You know, brother, and this is the problem, brother, is that Western Christianity is created to serve self. Biblical Christianity, you can't even enter into biblical Christianity until you deny self. Do you see the contradictions?
Right. Amen.
Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. He said that at least four times. I would say he alluded to it five times, but we know for sure Matthew 10, Matthew 16, Mark 8, Luke 9, and Luke 14, I believe, are the five different passages where it's very clear what Jesus is talking about. To enter into biblical Christianity, you have to deny self. Western worldly Christianity is geared to fulfill self. And when you ask people about what Hillsong has done, and you ask them, is this going to change? You listening to Brian Houston or listening to the music? They'll say, no, it's not. Well, why not? Because I like it. I. It's all about the fulfillment of the big I.
Mm-hmm.
But when we understand, when you actually go through the process by the Holy Spirit of denying yourself, picking up your cross and following him. Look, brother, I'll be honest with you. The song Ocean, That mm-hmm. song Ocean, it has a very I liked it. I think the words are pretty good, but it was one of my aunties who passed away last year. It was her favorite song, and it was played at her funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the song Scandal of Grace. But listen, it's not about me. It's not about what I like. It's not about what moves me, because there should be only one thing that moves us. There should be only one thing that motivates us, and that's the Holy Ghost and His Word.
Amen.
When we're not willing to deny this false Christian music, these false movements, these false teachers, these false teachings, then there's a problem with your Christianity. You have a serious lack in your Christianity. A serious mm-hmm. leak in your Christianity. You have a serious disconnect with biblical Christianity.
Man, I tell you, brother.
Right.
No, praise God.
Right.
Well, you were reading in Jude, and Jude 1:12 says, as you continued, he said, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees, listen, whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about, brother. I mean, that's exactly who these people are. And we're not trying to just say that to these people because we're trying to put them down or shame them or anything else. But we're bringing out what God wants us to bring out. We're not supposed to add or take away from the Word of God, because you just got through saying that. If you add anything or take away anything, you're going to be cursed from that. You're going to be, these things are going to be taken away from you Your salvation can be taken away from you. You're not supposed to add things for your own benefit, and a lot of these type of movements do, and they don't see anything wrong with it. But that's why I wanted to read verse 12. I think that was appropriate too.
Yeah.
In Jude.
Well, you know, and that's the problem, you know, and Romans chapter 16. Is a very good verse to help us understand the heart of God in matters of dealing with what we're dealing with. You know, in Romans 16, verse 17, Paul says, through the Holy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine mm-hmm. which you have learned, and avoid them. For mm-hmm. they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Brother, we're doing that. We're marking them because what they did is contrary to sound doctrine, and it is offensive to do it in the name of Christianity. It is offensive to do it in the name of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we are to avoid them because it is clear by what they're doing and by what they're teaching. Again, I take our listeners back to what Brian Houston said, that Jews, Christians, Muslims serve the same God. That is contrary to the sound doctrine which was given to us through the prophets, through Jesus, and through the apostles. From Genesis to Revelation, what he just said is contrary. Therefore, we are to mark him, and we are to avoid him.
Yes.
And as you said, $100 million a year, or however much money they make through all their different operations, they're not doing it
mm-hmm.
because they're serving our Lord Jesus Christ. They're doing it because they serve their own bellies. And they can only deceive the simpletons. That's it. If you've been deceived
Amen.
By this, then you need to recognize that there's some areas in your life that you're not strong in, and you need to turn to the Lord. Brother, I can tell you, and my family can tell you, my wife definitely can tell you, I have thrown out so many books over my 15 years of being a Christian. I have thrown away so many Christian CDs. I have stopped listening to so many American Western pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times and seasons where I do get discouraged. And then when I get discouraged, why am I discouraged? Because, man, there goes another one. There's another pastor that, you know, revealed that he's apostate. There's another one that's fallen away. But this is where we have to realize where that's where we're in error. We're looking to men. We're looking to other books and not to the one and only book that really matters. That's the Word of God. We're looking to other men that are faulty, and we're not looking to the Son of Man, the man of God, Jesus Christ, the man who was fully man and was fully God. And I've learned through painful experience that when I find myself being despaired over those things, that I'm possibly gotten off kilter, and I need to look to the only true man of God, the God-man, Jesus Christ. I need to look to only one book, and that's the Word of God. And that's not to say there's not a lot of good books out there, because there is. And they can be used to edify and to build us up and to encourage us. But when we get discouraged, when we hear that another pastor has fallen into sexual sin, we need to pray for those people. We need to pray for those homes, because homes get destroyed in situations like that. You know, brother, this morning I was really contemplating talking about the Frank Houston situation, because homes got destroyed over that, brother. Homes got destroyed over that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people in the West wonder why there's so much atheism in the West and why there's so much hatred towards the church and towards God. It's because of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's these types of situations.
Absolutely.
It causes the world to shake their head and say, what disgust?
I believe, brother, that this happened, this the thing that happened with Frank Houston affected Brian Houston, and people don't think that. They think that he was just, you know, he just told his dad he had to step down or whatever, and then he covered all this up, and they don't think it affected him, but it did affect him. It had to affect him, because he's gone a different way now. He said he's Assemblies of God. Well, Assemblies of God weren't like that at all. I don't remember them ever being like that and opening up themselves to anything like that. And you mentioned something about, you know, how these men are falling and failing and all that stuff. And what they'll use as the excuse while they do that is that, well, we're just human. I hear that all the time. I'm just human. I said, well, we understand we're human. But we're supposed to deny that the humanness of who we are and self, who are, just like you said before, denying self, taking up your cross and following him. That's everything you are you have to give up. And people don't want that. They like themselves. They like it. They like the world and everything that they touch and feel and taste. They like that. They don't want to give up anything. That's why God's not moving in their lives. Like the people, I wonder why God doesn't move in my life. Well, I would consider myself and look into myself. And believe me, I look into myself because I'm not there yet. I haven't, you know, but I want to be there, and I believe I can be there. I believe it what the Word of God says. And that's what I'm after. I'm seeking him like David did, like the deer panteth after the stream. I want him in my life, and I want him leading me and guiding me and guiding me away from these apostates and giving the world the truth and showing them what real Christianity is and not what this other Christianity is. Amen?
Amen, brother. And you know, this is the thing, is that what people need to realize is that we can only use God's word. That's all we have. That's all
it.
We have. And when we are making unbiblical excuses, we already know we're in error. We already know we're in error. And you don't see Paul saying, look, I'm just human. You know, after Paul said he persecuted the church to his death. You don't see Paul saying, hey, look, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, I punched Pastor so-and-so, but I'm only human. I'm sorry that I'm still persecuting the church. I'm only human. You don't see that. When Paul tells us in Galatians that he rebuked Peter to his face because he was drawing away even Barnabas to this Judaizing false teachings, Paul wasn't going to stand for Peter saying, hey, Paul, I'm only human. When David got caught in his mess, he didn't tell Nathan, I'm only human. No, he went into mourning and repentance, and he suffered the judgment of God against him for his sin. But David,
Amen.
Let me remind everybody, David, who was known as being a man after God's own heart, was under the Old Testament and didn't experience the salvation that we should be experiencing under the New Covenant.
Amen.
when Paul sits there and talks about Demas greets you, and then he says, Demas has forsaken me for the love of this current world. He didn't say, but hey, guys, you know, don't judge him. He's only human. We don't find these unbiblical excuses anywhere in the New Testament or in the Old Testament. When Jeremiah met up with Hananiah, the false prophet, he didn't tell Hananiah, hey, don't worry about Hananiah. I know you're just a false prophet. I know that you're only human. No, he said, you're going to see that you're lying to the people, you're misleading them, and you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, these excuses don't line up with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't line up with the Word of God. You know, the Bible never, look, Brother David, you know this, but how many of our listeners have fallen under this deception that we're just sinners saved by grace? Yes,
mm-hmm.
we have sinned against God. But the Bible doesn't say, hey, Paul doesn't write and say, the sinners in Rome. No, he says to the saints, to the sinners in Corinth. No, he says to the saints, to the saints.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus confronts the churches in in Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3, he doesn't say, I know your heart. He doesn't say, I know you're human. He doesn't say, I know you're only sinners. No, he says this, I know your works. 7 times Jesus tells the churches, 7 churches, I know your works, I know your works, I know your works. He rebukes him, he corrects him, he tells them what to do to get back on track. And he tells
Amen.
Them, he gives them precious, beautiful promises that only God can make available to those that will what? Overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Overcome.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Overcome. We are called to overcome. And Brian Houston and Hillsong is not leading people to become victorious warriors who will overcome, but are leading them to be overcome by the world, by their own flesh, and by sin. Again, let me point out that this man was, who was in underwear or in what Brian Houston claims to be proper attire, these, if there were women there that had a struggle or an issue with lust, having that man on stage did not help those women. And the fact that Brian Houston totally did not deal with that, did not say, look, I condemn what took place, the fact that he didn't even say that it was their youth pastor that was out there, shows that he was covering it up.
Mm-hmm.
The Hillsong Women's Conference color was an abomination, a stench in the nostrils of the Almighty God. It didn't bring glory to Jesus Christ. It brought shame to his name. It brought shame to his name. And it brings shame to the true church of Jesus Christ. And again, Brother David and I call Brian Houston, Carl Lentz, to repentance. You owe the body of Christ an apology, Mr. Houston, Mr. Lentz. You owe us an apology. You're blaspheming the name of God amongst the non-believers. And woe unto you if you will not repent. Woe unto you, sir, if you will not repent. And we're calling
Amen.
All of those that are followers of Hillsong, we're calling you this day to write emails. Do whatever you have to do to get the attention of Carl Lentz and Brian Houston Town that you are dismayed with what they allowed to take place. Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord, for this is not his church. This is a false church. This is an apostate church that is not serving our Lord Jesus Christ but their own bellies and are seeking to deceive and to seduce and to bring under their own control those who are simpletons, those that have not yet been born again or those that have just freshly come out of the womb and don't have their senses strengthened taught by the Spirit of God to be able to discern these things. This is not of God. This is not of God.
Amen.
And again, we ask that everybody go to www.truechurchfalsechurch.com to view videos and to listen to this audio and to call to share this audio. There's a share link on this. You can share this with as many as possible. We need to understand that evil men have been for a long time, brother, for a long time, have been trying to redefine Christianity. They have given us a new Christianity, and it is not one that comes straight from the Word of God. It is not one that is birthed by the Spirit. It is not one that is abiding in Jesus Christ. It is one that says that you can continually abide in the world, still be something that the Word says you're not. And our heart and our passion here at True Church Radio is not to be mean or hateful, but to help people see the clear truth of what's being done in light of Scripture and in light of their own actions. We didn't make anything up. All we did was clearly point out what these people did.
Amen.
We hope, that this radio show will help many. Is there anything you want to say, Brother David, before we close out?
Just one thing. We should be, as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, we should be upset, mad spiritually, that somebody would try to deceive us and draw us into something other than the true gospel, under the true word. We should be upset with that. Not angry at them, angry that spiritually that Satan knows who we are. He knows where we're at. He knows our weaknesses. And we should be mad that he's trying to take us down, brother. And he wants to take us down. Not him alone. He can't do it. Jesus has overcome for us, but he has demons out there and angels out there and false angels. Angels that come as angels of light, and they're not. They're angels of darkness. They're just a cover-up. And we should be upset about that. And we're not standing up against these people because we're mad at them and we want to see them go to hell and we want to call down fire on them. We want them to repent, as you said. We want them to find the true love of God and the true way, the narrow way, as the Bible teaches us, and be part of the true bride of Christ. Because that's the Lord's pulling out his bride. He's taking his bride out of the body. He's separating them, separating the wheat from the tares. And we want everyone that hears this to be of the wheat and not of the tares. We don't want them to be on the right hand and be cast in the lake of fire in the end. We want them to be saved. Amen?
Amen, brother. That's a good word. This is grieving, brother. This is something, like I said, this is not stuff that, you and I have had time to discuss this, digest it. We've already shared our displeasure and our grief over this, and now we're just dealing with it, So
mm-hmm.
It may come out, a little different than what people would thought, but this is the reality is that these men have chosen, as I said at the beginning of the show, the whole reason for the existence of True Church Radio is to expose the spirit of Satan and how he's working.
Right.
His spirit is working in our culture and in the church, the false church, and how he's leading men away to develop a false church, an apostate church, it's obvious that Mr. Houston has chosen for his own benefit, for his own good, and for his own glory to be used by an antichrist spirit, and that's his choice. And Brother David and I and many others have chosen to clearly point it out that he has chosen to do that. And just as Brother read that quote from Douglas, Mr. Douglas, the worship leader, their whole purpose there is to make sure that they fulfill Brian Houston's vision. But like I said, there's only one head, and that head is Jesus Christ. And therefore, he has the only right to have vision and to give vision to his church. And his vision is totally encapsulated in his word. And Brian Houston's vision contradicts the word of God. Therefore, everything he does and says is a contradiction to Christianity.
Yeah.
We thank you for listening to this audio. We pray that you are blessed by it. Until next time, Godspeed. Godspeed, Brother David.
Godspeed to you, brother.
Amen.